Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today in our gospel story, Jesus' authority is questioned. All right? The chief priests and the elders find Jesus when he enters into the temple. Now, these are the same people who, by the end of this week that the gospel is telling us about, they're the ones who are going to condemn Jesus to death. And so they start the week by asking Jesus by what authority he is doing these things. And then who gave him that authority? What they want is they want for Jesus to slip up. They want Jesus to give them a platform to use against him with the crowds and also with Romans. Now, as to the things that he is doing, they could be asking Jesus about his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. They could be asking about how he stopped the work of the temple by driving out the sacrificial animals and turning over the money tables. They also could just be asking about everything that Jesus has been doing throughout his ministry, because in Matthew's gospel, this is his first time in Jerusalem. This is his first time to meet these chief priests and elders of the people, and they may just want to know what's going on. Now, it does seem to me that they know that Jesus has some authority. That's why they're there. He's making them nervous. Jesus has a following. He has a reputation. He's been accomplishing all kinds of things from Galilee all the way down now to Jerusalem. But what they really want to know is from where this authority comes. Now, I think they have three different ideas in mind. And the first one is that this authority that Jesus has comes from God. I don't think any of them really believe that, but they have to sort of keep it as a possibility. The next possibility they have is that this authority that he has comes from the devil. Now, I'm sure that there are some in that group that believe that. But I think most of them believe that the authority that Jesus has comes from himself, that he's just some kind of a confidence man, right? They're holding out for the idea that Jesus is just charismatic enough, just convincing enough, that people are going to follow him and they're going to listen to him, that they believe that the people are swayed by his performance, and that's kind of from where their fear of the crowds comes. So when the chief priests and the elders question Jesus' authority, they're hoping that Jesus will give them an answer that they can use to discredit him. Discredit him to that crowd that they're afraid of. They want Jesus to make a mistake so that they can pounce upon him and get rid of Jesus once and for all. That doesn't happen in this story. Because Jesus does the rabbi thing. You ask me a question, and I'm going to answer your question with a question, right? Jesus says, I will answer your question if you will answer mine. And his question is, from where did John the Baptist's ministry come from? Was it from heaven, or was it just of human origin? Now, the chief priests and the elders cannot and do not answer Jesus' question. Because if they say that John's ministry came from heaven, then Jesus can ask them, why didn't you listen? Why didn't you repent? But if they say that John the Baptist was there just by human origin, then the crowd that they fear will be after them. Because the crowd believes John is a prophet. And so the chief priests and elders refuse to answer. And then so does Jesus. Now, Jesus' refusal to answer is more than just a rhetorical ploy or a tit for tat, because what Jesus wants is for the chief priests and the elders to begin to ponder John's ministry as well as his ministry. John's message there on the banks of the Jordan River was repentance. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus began his ministry by saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repentance. Walking with God. Working with God. Sharing the love of God. The love that God gives to each of us. These are the messages that Jesus has been proclaiming from Galilee all the way now down to Jerusalem. Faith. blessings from God, no matter that the world has cast you out. Grace and mercy, hope and peace. These are the gifts that Jesus provides to all people so that we will all have something to share. So when Jesus is talking with the chief priests and the elders, he hopes that they will hear John's call to repent, or his call to repent. Or maybe they'll even just hear Ezekiel's call to repent that we heard in the Old Testament today. Our reading from Ezekiel ends with him saying to us, "Turn then and live." Ezekiel's message is that God is always willing to forgive, that God is mercy, and that we are the ones who demand and demand and demand and then never repent. God wants to walk with us and work with us. God is calling us to repent. The Greek word that we use is metanoia, and the base definition of that is to turn around. God is hoping that we will stop going off in the direction of our own foolishness and turn back, that we will turn to God and to God's love and to God's care, that we will turn back to God's encouragement, guidance, and help. The parable that Jesus then tells lifts up repentance and encourages us to change our minds and our lives so that we can reflect the will of God. One son says to his father, "Nope, won't help." And then eventually he goes and helps. He turns around. He repents. The other son says, "Well, of course I'll help," and then doesn't do anything. Jesus' question is, which son did the will of the Father? And everyone knows that it's the first son, the one who did something other than pay lip service. Everyone knows it's the one who repented and went to work with the Father. It's not what he did or how much he did or for how long he did it that is important. It is knowing that he turned and was there in the arms of the Father's love and then joined the Father to help. See, this parable is for us a description of our lives as Christians. See, God's vision for the world is that it will be filled with people loving and caring for each other. God doesn't demand that there is only one way that we can do that, or even a handful of ways that we can do that. Instead, God stands beside us, willing to help us to love our neighbor, willing to help us to discover ways to help our neighbor, however it is that we can. Some days, we get it, and everything goes well, and some days, we blow it. We forget, or we lose sight of God's vision of love. Jesus is here today to remind us that we can always repent, that God's forgiveness stands with us. It stands for us. Jesus reminds us that we can always try, try, and try again. Now, the devil, the world, and our sinful selves are constantly trying to lead us astray, somewhere else. They try to get us following some trivial idea, or they try to get us lost in the details, and we forget our neighbor. We forget God's presence with us. And so today, from Ezekiel to Jesus, we are called to turn back, to return to the Lord our God. And we should never fear that it will take too much effort or that somehow or another God will not be there, because God is always there when we turn back. Sometimes we don't notice God because we're facing the wrong direction. So we're called to turn. We're called to turn now. When should we repent? Now. When should we turn back to God? Now. When should we open our lives in prayer or in praise or in thanksgiving? When should we be on our knees begging for guidance and forgiveness? Now. Now. Because it is always now. And now is always the right time for us to walk with God. But we are also called to turn now and live. See, that's the great good news today, because God gives us life, real life, true life, eternal life. Without God, our lives are always empty. Now, we may try to fill those lives with stuff or with friends or with postseason baseball. Whatever it is that we want to try to do, we will never fill our lives. And we will never fill our lives with purpose. God with us. Jesus, our Emmanuel, our Savior. Jesus is the one who gives us purpose. And that purpose is to love our neighbors. That purpose is to make God's vision into our mission. When God looks at the world, His vision is that we will show God our love by loving and caring for each other. Our mission then is to love and care for each other. When we get it, when we feel it, it is great. When we don't, we are called to repent, to turn now and live, to turn back now and live lives inspired by Jesus and filled with that love of God that is ours. That is the life that we get to live with God by our side, with Jesus working with us and beside us, so that we can bring the love of God to all the people we can. Turn now and live. Go into the world with hope and make God's vision our mission. Amen.